So with Ash Wednesday, you probably saw people walking around with smudge, you know, a little smudge on their forehead. With Ash Wednesday this last week, on Wednesday, we've started now into this holy season of Lent that leads us to all the way to Easter. We've been talking about it at home, and our daughter Ella, she keeps asking us what Lent is, what's Lent, and we've tried to tell her, trying to explain these things like sacrifice and repentance and preparation, using smaller, more bite-sized words. Four or five times, at least, we've explained what Lent is, and she keeps asking, which means we've obviously done a really great job with explaining that. But it is all those things. It is all those things. Repentance and preparation. And it's when we remember the journey, this long journey that Jesus took all the way to the cross for us. Traditionally, the first scripture that is read at the beginning of this season is the temptation of Jesus. And so we're going to read that scripture together today, and we're reading from the Gospel of Luke, from chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. So there was a movie that came out years ago about the temptation of Jesus. And it was upsetting to some Christians, and it kind of portrayed Jesus in some ways that didn't sit very well for some. And I remember the Christian musician Rich Mullins, one of my favorites, was asked about this movie at one point. And some guy came to him and was very upset about it. And the man said, Have you heard about this heretical movie that portrays Christ as a human?" And Rich responded. He said, "You know, that's funny." He said, I thought that was the good news. I thought that was the good news, that God came to this world as a human, that he lived his life on this earth, that he faced suffering and temptations as we do." And of course, Rich said the problem in the movies was that it didn't show that Jesus was also divine. He was fully divine, but he was also fully human. And that is the good news. That is the good news, that he came to this earth to dwell among us, God in the flesh. This matter of God dwelling among us, it's actually not typically a theme that is discussed in this time of year. It's more often that you'll hear it in connection with the birth of Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us. But really this idea of Jesus dwelling with us in the flesh is a surprisingly relevant and appropriate truth for us in this season of Lent. We see this truth of Jesus in the flesh so clearly, as we look back on the story of Jesus, and we look in this season and remember the trials that Jesus endured on his journey on earth, the temptations, the suffering, real pain, and hardships endured for our sake in the flesh. It was real pain he experienced, and he experienced real temptation, as we see in our scripture today. Temptation is something that humans all across the board experience at one point or another. Everybody does. It's the reality of life on earth, and Jesus wouldn't really have been human had it not happened to him. And so this is kind of a vital piece of scripture showing us that Jesus is in the flesh in this human reality of temptation that even he faced. I heard a story about a mom who went to her church, and her three-year-old boy went on to their Sunday school class. And there in the Sunday school class, there they tackled this hard story in the children's class. And afterward, the little boy had some questions, naturally, about the story. And he asked, he said, "Hey, Mom, what do you know about the devil?" And the mom's mind began to jump to a spectrum of theological views. What do I tell him? And then she remembered that he was three, you know, and she decided to just go ahead with the classic mom mode, and she asked, well, what do you know about the devil? What do you know? And well, he began, the devil talked to Jesus. The devil talked to Jesus. He was paying attention, I guess. And the devil was mean, he said, which I suppose is not too far from the concept of evil in the world of a three-year-old, at least. And then the little boy continued his interpretation of the scripture that he had kind of obviously gotten from his teacher in the class, and leaning closer to his mom and dropping his voice, he said, if we were at the store and you and Dad were in one aisle and I was in another aisle and there was candy, the devil would say, you should take some. You should take some. And the mom began to think, wow, maybe my little boy really has understood this story. And so she asked him, honey, if you were at the store and Dad and I were on one aisle and you were on another aisle and there was candy and the devil said you should take some, what would you say to the devil? What would you say to the devil? And a grin lit up his face, and without hesitation, he replied, oh, I would say thank you. I would say thank you. And it's not surprising that a three-year-old would miss the point in this. But lots of us, though, miss this same point all the time. It's far easier than not for us to just say, just say thank you when the temptations come along. It's easier. It's something that I too am still working on, of course. One of the messages we can find in this scripture about the temptation of Jesus, I think, is not only that he was tempted, but not only that, but that Jesus was tempted, and he made it through these temptations faithfully and obediently. In Hebrews, it says that Jesus, in every respect, has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Each temptation, one by one, Jesus takes it. He takes it and shows us that there's a way through it. Jesus shows us the way through, that it's possible to make our way through to the other side of really significant trials and temptations. Jesus can be a model for us, an example in this, as we too are called to be obedient. We too are called to be faithful in the Christian life, faithful in all things. And so I kind of want to explore what this means in this story, explore some of these important things that I think are revealed for us in Jesus' temptation. The first lesson for us, I think, if you read in the story, I think that first lesson is revealed even before the temptations. You get to the first line of this story, and it says Jesus is filled with the Spirit. Right at the beginning of the scripture, it tells us Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He's filled by the Spirit. To endure faithfully, Jesus is filled with the Spirit. And the gift is that the Spirit then goes with him into the wilderness, into temptation. It goes with us. The Spirit doesn't just drop Jesus off in the wilderness, but goes with him. We have to be filled with the Spirit. And this is not just a one-time thing, even for Jesus. Jesus here is led by the Spirit, led in the Spirit into the wilderness. But often, throughout the ministry of Jesus, he steps away into the wilderness. He goes off by himself to recharge, to pray, to be filled. If it is necessary for Jesus, it certainly is for us. Certainly is for us to sometimes step away to a quiet place, to experience the presence of God with us. And then we can come back filled with that Spirit, ready for whatever life throws at us next. A second lesson, I think, that we can learn comes in the first temptation. Jesus is tempted in the story we read. Jesus is tempted to provide for himself bread, turn this stone into bread. And in his hunger, after 40 days of fasting, this is not some inconsequential little temptation here. But Jesus says in response to this temptation, he says, man does not live by bread alone, right? That's what he says. But you may know that the rest of that scripture passage that Jesus is quoting, it says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus is nourished by more than just bread. Jesus is nourished by something deeper. He's nourished by the word of God, by the scriptures. He doesn't need to succumb to that temptation to satisfy his own hunger like that, because he's already satisfied. He's already filled by something more than just bread. George Foreman, the former heavyweight boxing champion, he wrote a book called God in My Corner. And in the book, he told that in 1974, before he went to Africa to fight Muhammad Ali, a friend gave him this Bible to take on his trip. And the friend said, hey George, keep this with you for good luck. And George said that I was always looking for luck, he said. So I carried that Bible with me. I had lucky pennies and good luck charms. So now I added this lucky Bible to my collection of superstitious items. And then he lost the fight, and he threw the Bible in the trash. He threw it away, never even opened it. And he said, I thought the Bible didn't help me win. So why do I need it? I thought I'd get power simply from owning it. I didn't realize that I needed to read it and believe what it says to be strengthened. And he said, I've come to understand now that the Bible is my roadmap. It's not my good luck charm. Woodrow Wilson once said that it is very difficult indeed for someone who knows the scriptures ever to get away from it. It follows you like the memory of your mother, he said. It haunts you like an old song. It reminds you like the words of an old and loved teacher. When our trials and our temptations in life creep in, we can tend to be like the student who prays just before the test, like I know I didn't study for this test, do anything to prepare, but get me through, God. Instead, we've got to prepare. We've got to seek that deeper relationship with God, with life and the Spirit, prayer and the scriptures. Throughout this story we read, we see that Jesus is spilling out these scriptures from within him, from deep within him. He spouts these scriptures, not just in the first temptation, but in each one of them through the whole story, each time the devil tempts him, that Jesus responds, quoting the scriptures, like the important passage, worship the Lord your God, serve only him. And he not only knows the scripture, but he lives by it. In these trials he endured, having this depth of scripture and relationship to pull from in response, this is what gets you through. And so he wasn't easily swayed and tempted. He was nourished by something more than just bread. The final lesson for us here, I think, is about, it's about remembering who we are. It's about remembering whose we are. The Lutheran pastor, Nadia Boltz-Weber, she said that God's first move in our lives is always to name us and to claim us. But then soon, other people try to tell us who we are and to whom we belong. And she says that all kinds of things, marketing and weight loss, the weight loss industry, or our parents or kids at school, they all have to go have a go at telling us who we are. But only God can do that. Everything else is temptation. And she says, so if it's God's first move, if God's first move is to give us our identity, then she says that the devil's first move then is to throw that identity into question. That's what he does first. Following Jesus' baptism, we see this. A voice comes from heaven and says, this is my son. Remember, this is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And then just a few days later, here in this story, the devil comes and says, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, then throw yourself down from the pinnacle, turn this stone into bread, if you are the Son of God. That word, if, that is the key deception here, if you are the Son of God. The devil tries to call into question Jesus' identity that God just told him about. Tries to make him feel uncertain, make him doubt. And that same question, that if word, can sneak into our lives too, confusing us with questions. If you are good enough, if you have faith, if you're loved by God. But these are truths. These are truths that shouldn't be questioned. Shouldn't be questioned. I read one scholar suggest that temptation is not so often temptation towards something, like doing something you shouldn't, but rather is usually the temptation away from something, namely like the pulling us from our relationship with God, pulling us away from that. And from the identity that we receive in and through that relationship. And too often Christians have focused on all the things we shouldn't do instead of pointing us to the gift and the grace of our identity as children of God. That's what grounds us. We are loved by God. We are children of God, beloved. And that certainty, that grounding in that truth can make all the difference. When life happens, we can be assured still, I am beloved. I am beloved, child of God. Thank God, right? Thank God for the gift of Christ, who has come into this world in the flesh to assure us of that identity and to show us all the way through. And in this season, we remember the lengths that Jesus went to, great lengths that Jesus went to do that. And we are invited now to follow his example, to love and trust God alone in all things, to turn to God, to strengthen our souls through the Spirit, through Scripture, and to hold fast always to our identity as beloved children of God.